Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, this is Helen, and this is Wine Face. Wine Face is my podcast about wine and with people and vibes, more wine and who makes it and how it's grown. I have a shop on Fairfax Avenue in Los Angeles. It's called Helen's Wines. It's in the back of John and Vinny's. Come check us out if you're in LA. Otherwise, you can visit us online, helenswines.com or at Helen's Wines on Instagram. But this is Wine Face, and today we are taking it to a boudoir level. No, today it's kind of a cross intersection of what I like to call bearskin rug wine. So wines you might want to drink with your partner if you're going to get into some sexy times. But it's also sort of a brief introduction to a different set of podcasts that we're going to be exploring about winter reds. There's such a seasonality in wine that I don't think people often think about. There's certain wines that are released at certain times of year. I can't buy them all year round. And these wines go with whatever we're eating at the time or the vibes, or if you're putting on a turtleneck, or if you have a fire raging next to your bearskin or animal skin rug. I don't know what my obsession is with this bearskin rug. But today we have a super special guest, my really good friend, Erica Chidi Cohen, who's a co-founder and CEO of a women's center in Los Angeles called Loom. So we're going to be breaking down sort of the ins and outs of understanding the female body, some sex tips. I'm going to just save it. You just got to tune in about 8 minutes or less. But winter reds is an introduction. I kind of like to go in two different directions in my mind when, whether it's a bearskin rug moment or it's like just a cozy night watching a movie, have a fire raging, maybe there's a bearskin rug. I like to go with either a lighter red wine that you don't need food with. It's very drinkable. It's kind of making your palate salivate. Or I like to go with something that has a little bit more fortitude. It's a little bit stronger. It has more tannins. Like, it's definitely not something you would want to drink in July, but it's something you can savor and you can sip on and you can just sort of let it evolve in your glass. You would not rush through it. It's not like a chuggable, chilled red. It's something that should be dissected and taken a little bit more seriously, so to speak. So today I had three wines, and one of them, as soon as we got to the studio, it's such a bummer. And I thought I'd talk about it because it's something that people don't really understand necessarily intuitively about wine, is that there are flaws that wine can have. And sometimes these flaws are very minor and can add character to the wine, but most often these flaws inhibit the wine from truly displaying what it could be and can be undrinkable. So I brought a bottle of the L'Esprit de Horizon, and it's this beautiful wine that's a blend of Syrah and Grenache and a little bit of Carignan, and it's made in the southwest of France, and it was exhibiting this flaw called volatile acidity, VA. And what that means is there is just too much imbalance in the wine for it to be palatable. VA can be a very cool thing that's like racy in white wine, or in red wine can be just like a little bit of zip and pop. But in this case, it was kind of turning the wine into a kimchi kind of sour. It was souring it. So that was a bummer. But luckily we had two rock stars. The first one is a couple, Marie and Vincent Tricot. I just got my allocation of these wines. They're incredibly romantic, super special. It's, you know, if you go to Paris and you go to like sexy little wine bars, this is what you want to drink. They always have it. It's micro quantities, but I brought their Trois Bonhommes, and it's 100% Pinot Noir grown in an area of the Loire Valley called Auverge. And the winemakers ended up buying 4.5 hectares of organically farmed pre-phylloxera vines there, which it's one of the like only regions that was not affected by phylloxera. Phylloxera was a disease that it was actually a bug that kind of destroyed a lot of the vines in Europe. We can do a totally different podcast on that because it's fascinating. So these were not affected by that, which means they have all this integrity and strength. The soil there is limestone, clay, basalt. Their winemaking approach is definitely one of wild yeast fermentation, organic farming. They take it a little bit further. They don't add sulfur. They don't do filtering. They don't do fining. And the result is this beautiful, almost like crushed, macerated, but almost overly ripe strawberry color and essence. But it has this tannic structure that hits your palate, and it creates this salivation. It creates a salivation like you're in the moment, you're in the mood, you're ready to just like sip on this wine. It's not too serious, but it's very, very satisfying. And it's low in alcohol. So if you have a glass or a glass and a half, you're not going to get three sheets to the wind. The other winter red, or also a good bearskin rug option, is Bordeaux. I think people don't understand Bordeaux. It took me a while to understand it, even though when I started my career as a sommelier, I opened Bordeaux after Bordeaux after Bordeaux. I was lucky to taste these Bordeaux's from 1982 over and over and over again. And like, these are some of the most expensive wines in the world. It was absolutely mind-blowing. But it was my first exposure and it was cool. But for me, I wanted to learn more. I wanted more nuance. But what's great about Bordeaux is it's kind of like lying under a cozy blanket. So I brought a wine from Chateau Massereau, and it's from the Graves region of Bordeaux, which is kind of like a 30-mile stretch that's southeast of the actual city of Bordeaux. And it's on the left bank near a town called Barsac, and that's where Chateau Massereau is. They've been organic farming since 2000. It's a blend of mostly Cab Franc with Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Petit Verdot. Those are all the red grape varietals that are blended together. They're all grown in alluvial soils. What's beautiful about this wine is that they do the fermentation and the maceration in concrete tanks and then age the wine in old barrique. So there's no new oak on this, and so you can really taste the nuance of the red grapes. They're structure. It's dense. It's like it's 2011, so it has a little bit of age on it. It feels like you're getting into something serious. Like it feels like quote unquote red wine, but it's dope. Bordeaux can be a little polarizing. We're going to do a little episode on Bordeaux, but basically it's broken into two banks on either side of the river. It's left bank and right bank. So this wine, Chateau Massereau, is from the left bank. Left bank is where Cabernet Sauvignon rules. That's the general rule of left bank. It's where really famous appellations like Margaux and Saint Estèphe and wines that sell super duper high at auction are all pretty much, generally speaking, from the left bank. And there's some of like the eight best communes, or what people consider the best communes or areas in Bordeaux, are on the left bank and that's often referred to, those eight communes are referred to as the Médoc. This is where all of the first growth Bordeaux's have their classification. And that's really just like the bee's knees or the Grand Cru, like first growth is the best of the best. And it was back in 1855 that that classification was established, which now we're at 2018, almost 2019. It seems so funny that those rules still stand. But then you go over to the right bank, The Right Bank has some varying styles. It has more terroir. It does have the areas of Pomerol and Saint-Emilion, which are probably the two most famous. They're more Merlot-driven. Pomerol has a super famous clay soil. So anyway, that's just a teaser of kind of Bordeaux and how it's so bearskin rug and it makes you want to sear a steak or do something with the person that you love or people that you love. I find that it's a cool, Bordeaux's cool. And some people used to call it boring. Like instead of Bordeaux, it was boring. And I think we just need to find the right producers at the accessible price points so people can jump back into it. Anyway, I am going to segue into this moment of magical mystery that we are unveiling with my good friend Erica Chidi Cohen. We are going to be delving into all things bearskin in 1 second. Thanks. Hi, we're back. This is Wine Face, and I got my special guest in the studio, the stude with me. Her name is Erica Chidi Cohen. Hi, Erica.
Hi. I'm
so excited to have you here.
Very excited to be here, friend.
We are friends. We're actually friends.
We're actually friends in real life.
Friends first, okay, guys?
Friends first. Always. Yeah. Friend before podcast.
Friends forever. Erica owns or co-owns.
Correct.
An amazing and co-founded and co-owns an amazing place called Loom in Los Angeles. If you don't know, now you know. And she wrote a book. Wait, can you just tell us a little bit about, like, give the people your background,
because cool.
They definitely don't know and they need to know.
Great. So stepping on my soapbox. So I am the co-founder CEO of Loom. We provide empowered education from periods to parenting, and whether you're trying to figure out what's going on with your periods or you are trying to get more in touch with your sexuality and understand it from a more embodied place, or if you're currently pregnant or parenting under the first year, we have got you, or at least something for you. And I also wrote a book called Nurture that focuses on pregnancy and moving through it in a way that, again, feels authentic and, you know, and focused on you, because I really feel that so many books, and kind of what motivated me while I was writing the book, was that so many books are kind of speaking at you as opposed to kind of speaking to you and being in this more collaborative conversation. And so the book is out there.
And it nurtures.
It does.
And
it's available wherever good books are sold.
I've not been pregnant yet, but I feel like a lot of books are kind of scaring you.
Yes.
By under the mascot of being informative.
Correct.
Which I feel like is such a good sort of symbol of most of women's health. Like mm-hmm. women's health growing up, it was like everything's scary.
Yeah.
And it's bad and it's wrong.
It's a lot of dun dun dun.
Yeah. Like, and then you get your period. Wah wah.
Yeah. You're just like, well, I guess I gotta go through this now. Yeah. There's a lot of that.
But I feel like what you are doing that is so cool and revolutionary in my mind is that you're changing the way women, you're giving women the permission to think about it differently. And you're opening the door for the conversation to be framed in a different way. And my experience of Loom is one that's like, take all that is special about you, and instead of giving it this negativity, feed a way to empower it by better understanding it.
Totally. And I think the thing is, you know, we always have to acknowledge the patriarchy, rest in peace, but it definitely has
informed. I need sound effects.
It does. We should have a little board here for and all that. Explode. But, you know, the patriarchy has informed so much of how we as women or female identifying people understand our bodies. We've definitely been shaped and, you know, we've been shaped and we've also been motivated, or I'm trying to think of a better word. We've been shaped and also rewarded to not ask a lot of questions about our bodies. And I think that is definitely changing. There's an interest now in understanding how our bodies work. And my main thing is you should know how it works before something goes wrong. And you should always be coming to yourself and exploring your body from a place of understanding as opposed to a place of kind of like dysregulation.
Yeah.
So, and I think it's, you know, it's making that learning experience fun and approachable and not so kind of esoteric and woo-woo that you're like, oh, that's not for me. It's like, no, cycle tracking's for you.
Yeah.
Like, it's for anybody that's cycling. And by cycling, I mean having a period.
Not Lance Armstrong, guys.
Yeah.
It is the flow. Flow comes to town.
Ant flow.
See you next Tuesday.
Yep.
No, that's
actually,
not that.
Actually, see you in about 7 days. I'm in my luteal phase, so this is
no
also
one knows
means,
what that means.
Luteal phase means I'm in the home stretch before my uterus starts to bleed, and that means from a cognitive and an emotional standpoint that I am feeling kind of low.
And you want to eat carbs.
Definitely want to eat carbs, even though I'm on this protocol right now that really encourages me not to eat gluten. We're figuring it out. And
okay.
On top of that, just, you know, language is a little bit more, you know, janky. It's like, I got the words, they're trying to come down from the brain, they're trying to come out the mouth, but it's like, whew.
So the bottom line is you got to give the ladies a break.
Yeah.
We got a lot going on. What do you think, what is the top for someone who's not pregnant, who's coming to see you at Loom? What is the main piece of knowledge or couple pieces that, like, have the jaw drop? Where people, like, women are like, I had no idea that is happening in my body.
Well,
to explain the level of disconnect that, like, I would say more than half the nation's women probably have.
Well, I'll say this, and it's less so much what's happening in the body during the pregnancy. I'll just say, you know, when we talk about birth, most people think if you are going to, you know, tear during delivery, that the terror is going to be you looking down at your vagina and just seeing a zip in terms of how many stitches or suturing is going to have to happen. But what most people don't know is that, you know, vaginal tissue, you know this because you've obviously either felt inside of your vagina or had something inside that has given you this impression, but the inside of your vagina is mucosa. It's like the inside of your mouth. So, you know, when you've ever burnt or tear or torn or had anything kind of rupture in your mouth, you know it doesn't feel great, obviously, but the healing is very different.
It's really fast.
It's very fast. And it's very fast, and it's also very different to having a cut on your arm or your leg. And so, one, most of the tears, first and second degree tears, which is what most women or people experience during delivery, are internal, which means they're inside,
yeah,
which means they're on the walls, like the lateral walls of the vagina. So it's like, yeah, seems like best. So the healing is a little bit more rapid, and it's a little bit more sophisticated as opposed to a tear that's on skin as we know it. And I think when people—
Because there's oxygen that,
yeah,
like, yeah,
and there's constant
healing.
Moisture, and there's, like, no real exposure to, like, the outside world, quote-unquote.
You got
to
get a finger condom on.
Yeah, you just got to be like, hey, you know. And when you think about that for
that's
tearing a
for
lot—
cooking.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. You can use a finger. You can use your finger condom for a couple of things. I feel like whenever I see— I have a body worker I see that will do, like, you know, myofascial muscle work in my mouth.
Jaw release.
And we'll use a finger condom.
What about for non-pregnant women? Biggest, like, my mind's blown.
Well,
I can say what mine is. But.
Well, you can, I'd rather have you kind of lean in, but just to wrap that up, I think when people hear that it's not going to necessarily be external, it's going to be internal, it's more like your mouth, they're like, oh.
It's not like the Joker and Batman space.
Yeah. It's more like, okay, like, I think this is more manageable. But you were saying.
Oh, yeah. I think the biggest thing for me was that, like, I kind of knew this, but before I met you, I didn't realize, like, how drastically your hormones can change every single week of a 30-day period. And that, like, that indicates many different things, including mood and energy and how those two interact together.
100. Yeah.
And give ourselves a break.
I know. Well, I think.
And it made me so envious of men.
I know. Well, look, they have a lot less hormonal variability, at least from my understanding. You know, we do have this kind of shift where, you know, things are going up, things are going down, and it impacts our mood a lot, and it impacts just sometimes our productivity and our, you know, our just general kind of efficacy in the world. But what I will say is when you do understand your cycle, it's like cognitive behavioral therapy in a way. Like, all of a sudden, it's like today, I'm in my luteal phase, so I know that, like, this podcast will be fire, but it could be even more fire if I was here in my follicular phase or my ovulatory phase.
You are always invited back. So
we can do a part two.
So why do women pack a bottle of wine sometimes, red wine specifically, for labor? What's the deal with that?
So it's funny, and you're mentioning this because I had a client recently who was like, I got some Hellens in my hospital suitcase. And I was like, yes, you do.
Yeah. She got also, a good bottle.
Really good bottle. Yeah. And they're just such an awesome cup. I mean, like, it just, I was like, uh-huh, yep, yeah, got it.
Yeah.
Look, alcohol can be very helpful. You know, they obviously are in a hospital, so they're going to have it after their baby to be like, celebrate.
Okay.
But alcohol can be great in early labor to relax, you know, contractions as they're happening. But again, you'd want to talk to your care provider about whether or not that's cool for you. But yes, over the eons, we've discovered that alcohol can have a relaxing effect on the body and help just make contractions a little bit easier in the beginning anyway, like a little half glass of wine. But, you know, wine is like, I don't know, wine's a pretty cool thing. And actually, when I was thinking about what you were saying was kind of like the jaw drop moment in terms of what you've experienced with working with me and Loom, I think I'm hearing so much more about wine now in our sex class.
Yeah. So it's a great segue because you just said like half a glass helps relax your contractions. But this episode is called Bearskin Rug for a reason.
It is.
Light the fire. So tell us about what are you hearing about wine? Like how in your professionalism are you hearing about wine as it interplays with sex and what people's relationship to it is?
Well, I'll speak personally to start. I mean, I love wine. I'm not really a big drinker. Mm-hmm. You know, I always think when I fill out any medical forms, I'm like, how many units of alcohol do you have per week? And I'm always like, I'm like 2 to 5. Yeah. And like 2 to 5 in the space of like 2 days of the week, you
know?
So it's always just like, it's an enjoyable experience for me. But I will say, you know, when I get into the kitchen or I'm thinking about, okay, tonight, like I want to get into it, you know?
Set the mood.
You know, I love what a glass of wine can do. And I'm not drinking a glass of wine to escape and like check out. But I'm having a glass of wine because I'm like, I want to pull a little bit deeper into my body and come a little bit out of the thinking and into the feeling.
And almost increase your intimacy, not on a mental level, sort of on a subliminal level.
Yeah. And like I've been with my partner now for, you know, 8 years. So it's not like a major lubricant for us, but it definitely is like an assist. It's like, hey, you're sipping some wine. Calm down.
Yeah.
Okay. But then
It's a signal. Yeah. I would say definitely like, depending on the situation, it's definitely something that like Alex and I will never be like, we need to drink 2 bottles of wine to do it.
Yeah.
But like, it's a signal. It's a signifier.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh, let's enjoy a glass and then like, we'll enjoy the wine later too. You know what I mean? It's like, it's kind of agreeing to get in the zone.
Yeah.
What have you heard from like other people?
Well, you know, in our sex class, which is my favorite class to teach at Loom right now, and the premise of the class really is to discover how to just really embrace your sexuality from your own perspective. So less about how you perform with partners, but more about how you experience sex yourself.
And not feel embarrassed.
Yeah.
Like feel empowered.
Totally
that.
Empowered. And, you know, we talk about anatomy. We talk about, you know, orgasms. We talk about just all the things that are kind of like outlying the experience in a way. But one of the things that we talk about are things that turn you on and things that turn you off.
Mm.
And it's interesting, you know, wine has come up often as a thing that turns people on. It's a part of their kind of arousal template of like, yeah, that's really helpful. And it's not like I need a bottle or two.
Yeah.
It's like, it's nice. It's kind of like in the atmosphere. And so I've heard that a lot. And sometimes it's wine. Sometimes it's a little bit of cannabis. Like those are kind of two things that are there. And then interestingly, it also, for some people, is on their turnoffs list if they drink too much, they feel like they can't perform. Or a turnoff is if their partner drinks too much. And so it's—
Because then you're suddenly out of sync.
Yes.
That's what I've found.
Yes. Yeah.
It doesn't work. You guys kind of, you have to be on the same like wavelength.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to be like kind of toe for toe.
Mm.
But wine is definitely, and I don't know if like empirically or clinically it's an aphrodisiac, but it definitely is, like you said, a signifier. It helps people be like, okay, we're in this zone now.
Well, because technically it's a suppressant.
Yes.
Which is like the way I was thinking about it. Whereas like the only alcohol that's a stimulant is tequila.
Mm-hmm.
And like cannabis can be a stimulant if it's a sativa.
Yeah.
But wine technically is a suppressant, mm-hmm. which I think there's that magic hour with the quantity mm-hmm. to drink, which I think is like not actually as much as people believe. But it's so interesting to me. Like, I just remember being younger and feeling like the need to be like more numb to be more myself, which I don't feel that way anymore.
Yeah, same.
And it's just like such a awful place to be, because then you end up not even showing what you're actually turns you on. You are showing a version of that or a projection of what you think your partner wants.
Exactly.
And it's so not satisfying.
Yeah, it's not. And, you know, the thing that's interesting is, you know, for me, I'm a self-described bossy bottom, so I don't need to be dominant in bed, but I definitely need to have all my faculties so I can be like, yeah, more of this, less of that, you know. And so if I'm, you know, two sheets to the wind, it's not really fun for me because I'm not able to kind of ask for what I need.
Right.
And so it is nice to feel, you know, engaged, even if there is a little bit of vino, you know, in the system.
Vino for your bearskin rug night. Hey. Hope this inspires everyone to not only get a bearskin rug, borrow your friend's fireplace.
I mean, just all the things. Set it up.
I love like when people are like, yeah, we just, you know, bearskin rug on the floor, like all those movies.
We I'm actually
like,
have a skin rug in our bedroom.
Really?
Yeah. So sometimes we sit on it and we eat takeout and we watch TV.
That
and
great,
you
too.
Know, and we make our way towards the sex.
You're like, first stop, takeout.
Yeah.
Tie.
Food. I mean, food is
very sexual.
It is. It is.
Can people watch, like, how, for the people who are not in Los Angeles, so you could go to your website, sign up for sex class. It seems to be like one of the most popular things that you're doing right now.
Yeah,
and you just started it. How can the people outside of LA engage with this? Or are you working on it? Can we tease it a
little? A couple things. Really fun news. We're actually going to be starting a podcast series here at Dear Media.
What? Shout out. Fam.
So we're going to be doing that. And it's actually going to be a live podcast series Loom. It's like almost a kind of, I don't know, like a reimagining of our This Matters kind of conversation series that we've been having. And that will be a great way for you to listen in and hear about all the things that we're obsessed about at Loom. And then we are working on exploring what a digital platform could look like. And we're planning to kind of go out and make that happen
so
in 2019, 2020.
But people can like stream your sex class.
Yes.
Once the pod launches in when?
So people can... So they won't be able to stream anything, but you can listen to the podcast when it comes out.
Like subscribe.
Yeah. You can subscribe to the podcast when it comes out in February.
Oh my God.
And
what's it called?
It's called This Matters at Loom.
Totally matters.
We're talking about things that matter, people.
This shit matters. I think people underestimate how important this is, how important connectivity with your partner, making time for it. I had a partner in my past life who literally once told me that sex was not the most important thing in a relationship, and it wasn't even in the top three for them. And it changed a lot of things for me.
Yeah.
And that was really heartbreaking. Like, it's definitely not the most important thing, but it's really important in my current relationship that it exists and that we engage in it. Which brings me to a question, because you have experience with this. You are also a doula. What's your advice for parents who, you know, maybe they're pregnant, approaching giving birth? You know, there is that like no flex zone, like off limits, sexy times. I'm sure people could do other stuff. Like, do you have any advice for new parents on reconnecting? You're tired. You got a baby. You know, it is one of my biggest fears about having a baby, I think, is becoming alienated from my partner.
Well,
and how wine might be.
Wine might be there for... Well, look, we got to chill on the culture of, like, wineness and, like, mom juice. Like, I feel like the wine thing is there to be supportive and helpful, but it shouldn't be a crutch.
Yeah.
Just as a FYI.
Preach.
But I think the reality... And this is something I personally subscribe to. I'm all about quality over quantity.
Oh, me too.
So I'm like, if we are just getting down and we're having some good sex fairly regularly, like whatever, even if it's like two times a month, but it's hot, there's orgasms, and it's like, you're still thinking about it and you're still getting off about it, you know, a few months down the line. Great. So I think that's the one thing, like, for new parents, just generally.
You don't need to be, like, having sex multiple times a week.
Yeah, definitely.
Take that pressure off.
Take it off. But definitely think more about the quality that you're having. And if you are in a, regardless of whether you're, you know, queer and in a, you know, a non-hetero partnership or a hetero partnership, think about having clearer communications about what you actually want and what you actually like. That's a really important thing. Because after, for pregnant people, after you have a baby, your body feels a little different. Mm. Like, sex feels a little different. Even just, like, you know, getting fingered can feel really different. Mm. So it's starting to, and that's, like, another component to intimacy. You know, when we look at the word intimacy, it's like, into me you see. Ooh. And so it's like really developing it more so that, you know, when you have your partner inside you, or if they have a toy inside you, you're able to be like, oh, that doesn't feel really good. And that might be really hard, because maybe that's something you never really wanted to say to your partner when you were, you know, pre-baby, because you're just like, I'll do whatever for my partner and it doesn't matter. But it might be a time now where you need to talk more about what you need. So, you know, quantity over quality, communication about what actually feels
quality
good.
Over quantity.
Yeah, what did I say?
Quantity over.
Sorry.
It's no. All good. I was like, whoa,
come backing it up. But yeah, quality over quantity, communication. And then also just realizing, you know, in the first year after having a baby, if you're choosing to breastfeed or chest feed, depending on however you identify, the hormones that really help support breastfeeding, specifically oxytocin, is the same hormone that's released when you're having an orgasm.
Oh, so, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So what happens is, you know, oxytocin is helping the smooth muscle in the breast contract around the milk duct, so that when when your baby is suckling and the milk is released, you're just getting really washed with oxytocin all the time, which is why for a lot of people, when breastfeeding or chest feeding is going well, they like love it. You're just getting that hit all day long, which means you typically are a little less interested in having sex
because you're getting that release.
You get that release on
so
the normal.
So that makes sense. And that's good for men to know.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of men don't know.
They don't know that. And also if you're in a, you know, in a
or
queer,
not just
yeah,
men.
Yeah,
but
queer partnership too. Don't be sorry. It's all good. But in your head, it's like whoever the partner is needs to know that. And you need to know on both ends. One, for the person that's doing the feeding, you're going to have to kind of like reach out a little bit from, like, you know, almost like you're in like a thick like fog. You're going to have to like reach out and find your partner because you're getting all the loved of energy vibes in your body all day. And then they got to know, they got to come get you too.
Right.
And so you got to really work hard to move away from the impasse. Mm. And the inertia, because it can really, and the partner can feel like, oh, maybe they're not as into me anymore. And it's actually not that. It's just hormonally, things are set up a little differently.
It's a dual cocoon escape
it
act.
It is. It's like,
sometimes I just am so like, you know, I think I'm a very open-minded, progressive person, but I'm like, wow, I have so lacking of identity to like, not that I judge or anything, but like even just what I just said, I'm just like, I don't know how to identify like in mainstream. I think most Americans of like a queer partnership or, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, a non-traditional. I'm embarrassed.
Don't be embarrassed.
But no, I'm not embarrassed. I'm just like, it's very.
You're contemplating.
I'm very openly self-reflective.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not like that embarrassed. I'm just like, yeah, like my reality is not the reality of everyone.
Yeah.
And sometimes I really like, I think it's really healthy to remind yourself of that in the moments when you realize you are not reminding yourself.
Yeah.
Or you just like are so like, okay, like I'm white, remind yourself you're white. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. And I think with the work that I do, I'm constantly always oscillating beyond myself, you know? And although like that oscillation is not that difficult for me because, you know, I am not in the dominant culture. I'm Black. I'm also queer. And so I'm always thinking that kind of in that outer or kind of more micro sense in a way. So yeah. And also I'm an educator. So I'm always just like, that the use of verbiage and pronouns is just kind of like,
I know you're such an educator.
Teacher.
Okay, let's try these bearskin rug wines. So
okay,
we have
let's
two.
Do it.
Guys, we had three wines and one had too much VA. For those of you who don't know, VA is volatile acidity. And it can be a flaw. It's technically a flaw. And it can be a cool flaw. I mean, it's a flaw that comes from a low intervention wine. But the thing is VA exists in all kinds of wines. And it was just too, like, volatile. And it kind of felt like it's, like, stabby.
Don't want to stab.
No stabby.
No stab.
So I picked this wine because it's made by a couple, a sexy couple, very Marie nice. And Vincent Tricot. And this is the Trois Bonhommes. And it's Pinot Noir. Right? It's, like, really fun and playful.
This label is so good.
It like, looks like it's drawn with a crayon.
Jordy would love this. This is so
It's like, definitely yeah, a funky wine. So I feel like sometimes setting the mood. When you're bearskin rugging it, there's two ways you're going. One, you're going just like a low alcohol, kind of easy to drink. Maybe it's a little funky. Doesn't need to be a natural wine, but like whatever. It's a little chill.
Yeah.
And you're just like, it's not really drinking it to have intoxication. You're just drinking it to like set the vibe. So I kind of picked this one.
Like it?
What are you? Oh, yeah, I'm curious.
All right, I'm going to have a little taste.
It just smells like rotten strawberries, but.
It actually does. It does smell a little like rotten strawberries.
But in the best possible way.
Yeah. No, that's true.
I like this wine. You know what I like about it is it has texture on the palate and it salivates. Mm-hmm. You create saliva after you sip it. Oh, so Erica told me before we started recording that she did take a sommelier course and she just showed me her moves.
Yeah.
Show me your moves. In South Africa.
In South Africa.
South Africa.
South Africa.
I should have done South of the Border wines is what I thought because it's also like South of the Border. Actually, wink, really, wink. Know what I mean?
Going south.
Babe, are you going to go south of the border?
That's what we're doing. I'm actually going to do this again because I feel, wow, it spilled on myself. That's also my vibe.
Such a sexy wine. It jumped just out of the glass.
Out here.
Okay, so it's a beautiful color. It's sort of this like frosty rose and frosty because it's like not fully clear. It's unfiltered, but it's beautiful.
Yeah, I'm getting berry. Getting
it's
like
berry, but it's dry.
Yeah, it's dry.
But you get the salivation.
Yeah,
keeps you wanting more. It the
kind of tinny
thing,
too. It's a little bit like tin.
Yeah,
tin.
Yeah, it's got a metallic.
Yeah.
Aspect.
Well, not overly tannic though either. It's more just like.
I like a sexy time wine that salivates your mouth because it makes kiss. It's like
makes
you're
kissing
like, ooh,
good.
The worst thing is like if you smoke the wrong weed and it gives you cotton mouth.
Yeah.
Like, okay, let's get the water bottle.
Yeah, let's get that out. I haven't had a cotton mouth cannabis
Me
moment
neither.
in
a long time.
Long time.
Like, so scary.
Yeah, very
scary.
Scary
spice.
Yeah.
We were talking about Britney Spears earlier.
We were. I had hearkened back to the Slave for You video, and I was just like, God, that video is like actually kind of fire. I remember being home and like watch in South Africa at the time, like watching it on MTV and just being like, what is this? And
it was a good foreplay video.
It's just like, yeah, I mean, like her like heaving on all those people and like getting her face licked. I was like, cool. Yeah.
Cool camera
Really,
angle.
Really should just go see her in Vegas. I feel like I should just like pull the trigger and just be like, let's do this.
It's Britney, bitch.
It's Britney, bitch. Yep.
Okay, wine number two.
Wine number two.
That's Britney, bitch. Wine number two, I picked a Bordeaux.
Okay, I love a Bordeaux.
I know. I was like, let's get it. But it's not too full-bodied.
It's also much darker. It's more of a plum color.
Exactly. Yeah, it's darker. It's richer. It's more mysterious.
Yeah, it's second base, third base.
Third base. Do you ever, I mean, maybe the bases should come back.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you ever talk about that in sex class?
You know, no bases.
No.
But I can always know. I love a good, like, I might bring that. I'm going to bring that in.
It might be a cool thing, like a not a game, but like an exercise.
Yeah, like what is first base for you?
Yeah.
For some people, it's just like sex.
Yeah.
First base, you know? Or like, I don't know.
I don't want to know what a home run is.
maybe you do.
Maybe
you do.
I think the listeners do want to know. Okay, so this is Chateau Massereau, 2011.
Very different.
Bordeaux. It's from Graves. So it's a blend of Cab Franc, Merlot, Petit Verdot, Carmenere. It kind of has a little bit of everything in there. So a lot more depth, more darkness, 7 years of age.
Not getting much berry at all with that one. Nada.
That wine means business.
Yeah. It's like, I'm here to pay the bill.
But it's still good. Yeah.
It doesn't, I'm taking you out.
Yeah, or it's like maybe you sear a steak in a cast iron, yes. Have a glass of this.
That's really
let
good.
Let the steak rest. Mm-hmm. Revisit that steak later.
Come back.
Your proverbial piece of meat.
You know.
Or if you don't eat meat, sear a portobello mushroom.
Totally. That's absolutely fine. Actually, it can be really great. A little balsamic vinegar. It can be good.
Yeah.
It can be okay.
Favorite wine of the two?
I actually am going to say that I like the Pinot Noir.
Pinot Noir. Peanut Noir.
If you can get your hands on a visual of this label, it's kind of worth it. It's just kind of like...
Go to helenswines.com, at Helen's Wines. I'm going to post it.
Wonderful.
I got you.
Yeah, this is good.
In closing,
yes.
Now, anything, you know, please go visit... What's the website for Loom?
This is loom.com.
Check out Erica's book, Nurture, especially if you're pregnant or if you're not pregnant.
Totally.
If you're a man or a woman, however you identify, it's cool to know because you definitely know someone who's going through
totally
that process.
Yep.
And I think empathy is underrated.
It is underrated. And it's actually super underrated. It's a nice book to get for anybody that's like in your chosen family that's going to be kind of along for the ride with this experience, especially if you don't have a partner too. I think it's nice to just get your community to be Ooh. Reading the same thing.
I love that.
And you can find me on the interwebs at just my whole entire name.
Okay.
After an at.
So Erica Cohen.
On Instagram.
On the gram.
Yeah.
She's got a great gram, guys. Go check it out. At Erica Chidi Cohen. My new mantra these days is nice is the new cool.
Cool. I'm into it.
And you embody this so much. You're so nice.
I'm okay.
Thank you so much for coming.
You're so nice.
Shout out to Maddie.
Yes, Maddie.
Who kind of introduced us, actually.
Yes, yes.
Well, we knew each other, but like sealed the deal.
Yeah, we nailed it down.
Check her out, Maricoco.
Love Marico. She's so great.
I know. She's got to come on and talk to
That's
me.
Actually what I was
about real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Real estate and wine.
Yeah.
Like closing it. Deals.
Closing deals.
And opening new doors.
Sending people wine after. It's real.
Erica, thank you so much.
Thanks for having
me. It was a pleasure. More soon. I can't wait to have you back.
Me too. Ciao, right. Ciao.
Bye. This was Wine Face, y'all. Thank you for listening. If you want any more information on any of these topics or you want some suggestions on more wines, please go to @HelensWines. Please feel free to DM me. I will answer all of your questions or visit us online, helenswines.com. Subscribe to this podcast. Please write us a review. Any topics that you want to know about, any mysteries of wine you want unveiled, I would love to get your feedback. I'd love to hear from you. You can DM me at helenswines.com and you will be guaranteed to hear from me. Thank you so much. This is Wine Face. We're out.